Because the Lord isn't looking always for great courageous leaps. He's looking for movement in the right direction. Does that make sense? Stop trying to be a hero. Just move in the right direction. All right, verse 10. When Pharaoh drew near, the children of Israel lifted their eyes, and behold, the Egyptians marched after them. So they were very afraid, and the children of Israel cried out to the Lord. So here's what we've got going on. Israel's leaving Egypt, and Pharaoh and his army is coming after him. And so they turn around in their journey, and they see Egypt coming after them. And it says, they are very afraid. The wrong kind of fear will drive you away from the Lordship of Jesus. The right kind of fear endears you to him. Complaining is the language of fear. It's the language of unbelief. Nobody complains who sees God's role in the middle of their situation. The complaint only happens because we've lost sight of who he is and where he is. There are some fears that are natural fears, or can I say responsible fears? Putting your hand on a hot stove. Don't tempt God. That's stupid. Walking across the floor barefoot with broken glass. It's not a smart idea. Voting for socialism. It's just not. So I want to make sure you were awake. I've been waiting all morning to say that. Actually, longer than that. Verse 13, Moses said to the people, "Do not be afraid." I'm sorry, I don't have enough time to take many detours, so I'll just take one, and then this is the last one. I read this post that said, when you have a conflict with your wife, just tell her she's overreacting, and that'll calm everything down. That's kind of what I thought of here. Moses comes to Israel, who was terrified, said, "Don't be afraid." Oh, okay. Okay. There's a good idea. I just won't be afraid. But then he comes with the word of the Lord. Don't be afraid. And he says, "Do not be afraid. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will accomplish for you today. For the Egyptians whom you see today, you shall see again no more forever." I had just hit me strong in the Twin View service just a few minutes ago. And I feel the same here now. There are some of you that are facing ongoing problems. And I feel like I'm supposed to declare over you, you will never see those Egyptians in that issue. You'll never see them again. Today it ends. That will not be a cyclical issue in your life. It ends today. But here's the word that Moses brought to the nation of Israel. The Egyptians, though, were trying to kill you. You will never see them again forever. Okay, move on. It says, verse 14, the Lord will fight for you and you shall hold your peace. Now, verse 15 is important. And the Lord said to Moses, "Why do you cry out to me?" All right. What's happening here? Verse 13 and 14, Moses is prophesying. Yeah. Just stand still. God's going to deliver you. You're going to see him work on your behalf. Yeah. He's going to bring you to a place of great peace. Yeah. Just hold your place. And the very next verse we see, God says, "Why are you crying out to me?" So that tells me, after the prophecy, Moses is interceding. He gave this great word to Israel, and then he's saying, "Oh God, oh God, oh God, oh God, oh God. Do you see these people that I'm leading? Oh God." So the Lord says, "Why do you cry out to me?" So apparently there was prayer after the prophecy. But what does he say? Verse 15, the Lord said to Moses, "Why do you cry out to me? Tell the children of Israel to go forward." Now, I don't know if you notice this, but there's a big difference between standing still and going forward. Moses sensed the safety and the provision of the Lord, and let me say, it's possible he assumed he's going to do it while we stand still. And the Lord brought one clarification to that prophetic word. I'm going to do it, but I'm going to do it while you're moving forward. You're going to have to stand still. And there are some times, honestly, where you just take the position of rest, and there are other times you just move in the right direction. God is not, usually he's not looking for great courageous leaps in movement. He's generally looking for just movement in the right direction. We had a staff member here years ago that had a very, very serious head trauma injury, very serious. And he couldn't play with his children anymore. He couldn't be in the room where there was any kind of, not even argument, just challenging conversation. There's certain things he couldn't see on TV because he was so traumatized in the injury of his head. And he was actually, he was over there in one Sunday night service, was in the men's room, the restroom, and the Lord just prompted him, bump your head against the wall. That terrified him because that would just send him to just to bump his head against the wall. And he said, Lord, I can't do that. And then what he did is he just leaned his head softly against the wall, instantly healed, completely healed of all the trauma for so long. Because the Lord isn't looking always for great courageous leaps. He's looking for movement in the right direction. Does that make sense? Stop trying to be a hero. Just move in the right direction. Just move in the right direction. So he says, why do you cry out to me? Tell the children of Israel to go forward. We move on down through this story, and the Lord begins to reveal himself as being with the children of Israel in this journey. This is, I like the story. I like the story a lot. It says in verse 18, the Egyptians shall know that I am the Lord when I have gained honor for myself over Pharaoh, his chariots, and his horsemen. And the angel of God who went before the camp of Israel moved and went behind them. This is interesting. So God's in front of them, showing them where to go, and he's behind them, protecting them from the Egyptians, right? So the angel of God who went before the camp moved and went behind them, and the pillar of the cloud went before them and stood behind them. So he went between the camp of the Egyptians and the camp of Israel. Thus it was a cloud of darkness to the one, and it gave light by night to the other. Two manifestations of the same revival. A cloud in one case, fire in another. The same sun that melts the ice hardens the clay. The workings and dealings of God, the effect of those workings and dealings have everything in the world to do with our heart's condition, the posture, the position of our heart. Am I saying, God, prove it to me? Or am I saying, no matter what you say, my answer is yes. Because those two positions are extremely different. It's not a heaven or hell issue. It's an issue of what measure of promised land will I actually experience in my lifetime. Wow. And we were all born to enter the reality of the fulfilled promises of God over our lives and our family line until it actually brings transformation to culture itself.
Yeah, I'm so glad that you watched this video. I do pray that it's a great, great strength and encouragement to you. And I've got a verse that really is my cry for all of us. And it's Psalms 20, it's verse 4. May he grant you your heart's desire and fulfill all your plans. That's my prayer. That's my prayer, is that this would be the season of rich, rich fulfillment. Thanks for joining us.